Isaiah 41, beginning at verse 1. Be silent before me, you islands. Let the nations renew their strength. Let them come forward and speak. Let us meet together at the place of judgment. Who has stirred up one from the east, calling him in righteousness to his service? He hands nations over to him and subdues kings before him. He turns them to dust with his sword, to windblown chaff with his bow. He pursues them and moves on unscathed by a path his feet have not travelled before. Who has done this and carried us through, calling forth the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, with the first of them and with the last, I am he. The islands have seen it and fear, the ends of the earth tremble. They approach and come forward, they help each other, and say to their companions, be strong. The metal worker encourages the goldsmith, and the one who smooths with the hammer spurs on the one who strikes the anvil. One says of the welding, it is good. The other nails down the idol so it will not topple. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its furthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege we have as your people of having your word here with us, for us. Please speak to us by your Spirit through your word and transform us to be more like Christ, to the glory of your name. Amen. Now, we live in a world that seems to be ruled by fear. Lots of fears around us and fears inside our own hearts. Oftentimes, as human beings, we have fear out of anything that we feel is outside of our control, or things that remind us that things are just beyond our fingertips, or just a little bit too difficult for us to understand, or maybe so big and so ominous, so right in front of us that we're not able to bring it under our control, and it causes us fear. Now, in the past 15 months, as a world, we've been rocked by the pandemic. And many of us probably still experience on a daily basis the effects of fear. We look towards the future. We have questions about the economy, questions about further pandemic, questions about our own mental health. Fear is all around us. Fear is, it seems, central to our experience as human beings from the time we're babies and we maybe burn ourselves for the first time. We realize a fire is hot, so stay away from that, and fear of colors that whole experience for the rest of our lives. Or when we have to do public speaking, I hear that public speaking is up there with fear of death. And whenever I do a sermon prep, I'm always writing to the very last second, because there is fear involved in this as well. The amazing news for us today that we have from Scripture here is that God knows us and understands our fears and speaks a word of comfort to us. Do not fear. It's right there in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. So do not fear. And the prophet Isaiah, over 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, was writing this prophecy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, speaking on behalf of God to the people of Israel, do not fear. And the people of Israel at that time had many reasons to be afraid. Israel was, comparatively speaking, a very small nation compared to the Assyrian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, and later on the Persian Empire, the Egyptians. They were kind of nestled in between, in the middle of all of these major superpowers. And these major superpowers boasted of their gods. Their gods and the idols that they built, they thought these were magnificent spiritual beings represented by gold or silver, and they boasted in those gods. And when they conquered nations around them, when they plundered their spoil, when they built their own buildings in their cities after conquering them, they boasted that their gods were stronger. Meanwhile, you have this puny nation, Israel, right there in the middle of all of them, with a God that didn't have an idol or didn't have a physical representation, worshiping this God while all the nations around them were surrounding them, threatening them. Also, the people of Israel at this time, through Isaiah's prophecy and many other prophets speaking to them, understood that they had disobeyed God. And there was coming judgment, and there was coming exile, being the threat of being uprooted from their homeland and shipped off to a foreign country. The threat of losing all that they held dear to them and being forced to a foreign land. In Isaiah chapters 1 through 40, we experience this sense of dread as the nations are closing in on Israel. As Israel is fearful for the future, understanding that they have an impending judgment coming towards them. But in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, the tone changes suddenly. And the very first word that is spoken is comfort. Comfort my people, Isaiah chapter 40. And chapters 40 through the end of this book, is God speaking a comforting, even gentle word to his people. And in our passage tonight, we have him saying explicitly to them, do not fear, for I am with you. And there's many different ways. I think I'll highlight three ways that someone can say, do not be afraid. The first image that comes to my mind is a soldier. I think of the movie Gladiator. And Russell Crowe's character, he's there, and he's standing in the middle of this Colosseum, and, you know, the chariots are coming towards him, and he's looking to his left, he sees another gladiator, looking to his right, sees another one, and he says, don't be afraid. It's a very, like, gritty, muscular, do not be afraid, kind of like encouraging along his fellow soldiers with a sword, a very strong, do not be afraid. Then you have the do not be afraid from a friend. Friend who knows you well, who's good at listening to you, he understands your struggles, has walked with you for many years. And, you know, there might be a little bit of tough love of, you know, you can do this, don't be afraid, but there's also some gentleness to it too. You know, don't be afraid, friend, it's going to be okay. And then you have another kind of do not be afraid, the kind that you give to a child or even to an infant when they're scared. You just sweep them up into your arms, you hold them, and don't be afraid. When God says, do not be afraid here, it can speak to you in any of those three ways. Wherever you are in life, whatever you've come to today, whatever you're holding in your heart or carrying on your shoulders, when God says, do not be afraid to you today through this passage, it can be any of those three as the Spirit moves in your heart to comfort you and strengthen you to overcome these fears that surround you. There are three things I want to highlight about how God is speaking to us, that message of do not be afraid. Three reasons why we don't have to be afraid. The first is the Lord is our God. The second is the Lord is with us. And the third is the Lord's promises are sure. So the Lord is our God, the Lord is with us, and finally, the Lord's promises are sure. So let's go to this first one. The Lord is with us. Look at chapter 41, verse 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. So this first one, the Lord is with us. When God says, I am with you, he is speaking of a presence that's around you, above you, beneath you, inside you, strengthening you. And the way that this was embodied and depicted in the Old Testament was the temple. The people of Israel, when they were set free from Egypt, and when they were brought through the Red Sea and brought to the Promised Land, the Lord promised that he would dwell with them in a temple. And in the book of Isaiah, one of the things that they're most afraid of is surely the nations won't be able to come and finally get to the heartland, the center of our establishment. Surely the nations cannot destroy our temple. But in this prophecy and all the other prophecies put together, we see this coming threat of the temple is actually going to be destroyed. And what Isaiah is speaking to the people of Israel about is a comfort for a time when the temple has already been destroyed. What do you do when the very thing that was supposed to be the symbol of God's presence with you is flattened to the ground and destroyed? What God says here is, I am with you. What this implies is, whether you're in Israel, whether you're exiled in Babylon, whether you're a foreigner in a distant land living as slaves, I am with you. Because God's presence is not bound to a building. As beautiful as the temple building was, even when the temple was destroyed, God traveled with his people to exile and dwelt with them in exile. All the gods of the nations, the Babylonian gods, the Assyrian gods, the Egyptian gods, they were bound to the geographical parameters of their countries. And they didn't venture outside their countries. But the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, was the creator, is the creator of the whole universe. There is not a square inch on this earth where you could run where God would not be there right beside you. And so when Yahweh, the God of Israel, says to his people, do not fear, for I am with you, he's promising them that even in their darkest hours of exile, in a foreign land, he would still be with them. This truth really came home to me when I was in Ethiopia. We were there for a number of years doing some overseas work, and one of the joys that we had was working with people who came from Muslim backgrounds. And when they came to Christ and decided to put their faith in Jesus and follow him, oftentimes there was persecution. There was a great cost to their life simply for following Jesus. And I had still have this dear friend who, as a Muslim background believer, he had a really strong sense of call to do work of discipleship, to train fellow Muslim background believers to follow the Lord faithfully, to love their families, to preach the good news of Jesus, even in very dangerous circumstances. And I traveled with him several times. And one time when I was about to travel with him, I asked him, so what do you do to not be afraid? Because depending on the region where you're going, you could be putting your life in danger. What do you do to not be afraid, even though your line of duty, your calling in life, your mission work is so dangerous? And he said to me, I'll never forget it, he said, I do not fear because God is with me. And he will not call me home 1 second earlier than the time he set for me. This friend, I'll call him Ahmed for tonight. He trusted God. He knew that God would never leave him. Even to his very last breath, God would be there strengthening him, giving him everything he needed for each step of the way. Now, we may not experience the same kinds of persecution that this dear friend has, but all of us have fears. All of us have anxieties and worries, and we can have the same comfort tonight, knowing that wherever we are, God is with us. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. In a time of pandemic and lockdown, not only do we have a pandemic of coronavirus, but one could say also a pandemic of loneliness. As we experience the isolation and the fragmentation of society, They've done studies where we see just the sheer number of people who live with loneliness on a daily basis. And if we can discover just a little bit of this truth tonight, that God is with you, brothers and sisters, you can have that comfort as well. Do not be afraid, for I, the Lord, am with you. Secondly, do not be afraid, for I, the Lord, I am your God. Now, when Isaiah is giving this prophecy to the people of Israel, and the Lord is speaking through him, God is revealing to his people who he is, not to be confused with a lot of false conceptions of who the one true God is. Because throughout history, throughout the development of religions all across the ancient world, there were a lot of misconceptions, and all of these misconceptions were basically different ways of humans trying to shape God in their own image. I want my God to be this way. I want my God to look that way. And if I use my own hands to shape gold or silver or wood, I can put my God in a certain place, and I can run to him or her for strength. But in a way, I'm also shaping this God to be exactly what I think I want God to be. But God puts it in the reverse. In fact, we humans have reversed what God did in the first place. God creates us. God wants to fashion us to who he wants us to be. God is the one who is on the throne. Look at verses 1 through 4 in this passage, chapter 41. God is revealing himself, saying, "Be silent before me, you islands. Let the nations renew their strength. Let them come forward and speak. Let us meet together at this place of judgment." So God is saying, let me show you who's really on the throne. "Who has stirred up one from the east, calling him in righteousness to his service." He's talking about empires on the east. "He sends nations over to him and subdues kings before him. He turns them to dust with his sword." Verse 3, "He pursues them and moves on unscathed by a path his feet have not yet traveled before. Who has done this and carried it through, calling forth the generations from the beginning?" In other words, who is moving history from point A to point B? Who is moving history from the beginning to the end? And then at the end of verse 4, "I, the Lord, with the first of them and with the last, I am he." The one true God, not a God that we can fashion or make with our own hands, not a God that we can control or manipulate, but a God who is absolutely sovereign, on the throne, over everything. Not a thing that happens in this world is outside of his control. He is the God who is on the throne. Now, if this is the only image we had of God, it would be a frightening thing. Because if that kind of God was not for us, we should be very afraid. But this God is the one who comes down and speaks to his people in the Old Testament through the prophet, saying, "Do not fear, I am with you. Do not be afraid, I am your God." And if you look up for a couple of verses to verse 8, he also says, "You are descendants of Abraham, my friend." This great and awesome God who is beyond what our words can describe, who is over and above all that happens in this world, he's also here next to us, with us, as our friend. So we don't have to be afraid because God is with us. And we don't have to be afraid because this God is the great creator of the whole world, above all of the suffering of this world, but also with us as our friend. There was a time in my life when this truth, I had to cling to this truth on a daily basis. So you can tell by my accent, I'm American. My wife is British. And there's a time at the beginning of our marriage when we had some immigration visa difficulties. There were there's basically a glitch in the system. And we had only been married for a few months. And I had to go back to the U.S. and Tessa had to stay here in the U.K. And God in his providence blessed us with getting pregnant, and a baby was going to come in 9 months. and I had to leave for the States, and Tessa couldn't come with me to the States. She was here in the UK, and we didn't know how the visa situation would be sorted yet. Every day, and at that time too, there were a couple sort of higher profile cases where this kind of thing happened, and they called the phenomenon, I think back then it was, they called them Skype families, when you had an international marriage, and because of glitches in the system, it was up to 1 or even 2 years of being apart. And when we were facing this, knowing that we were gonna have a baby in 9 months' time, it was really scary. But to know that our God, this didn't catch him by surprise. And to know that our God was above the highest political powers in this world that were keeping my wife and I from being on the same continent, in the same country, that our God was above all that. Not only that, but he was with us. That gave us such amazing comfort. And even now, as we face another international move, we find ourselves needing to come back to that same comfort. That this God is our God. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. And then thirdly, do not be afraid, for the Lord's promises are sure. Look at these promises that he gives to his people in verse 10. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, I was looking at this Bible verse afresh this past week, and it struck me. In the original language, the way this is written, these words, I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In our translation, this is a future promise, and that's very much true. We can trust God for these things that will come in the future. But the way it's shaped in the original is it's a completed action. It's so certain that the prophet says it as if it's already happened. God has strengthened you. He has helped you. He has upheld you with my righteous right hand. We see a similar thing. Paul does it in Romans chapter 8, where he says, those who God, according to you, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. That hasn't yet happened yet, that glorified, but it's so certain that Paul says that as if it's already happened. He has glorified those. This promise to us is so secure because it is spoken by God himself, and all of his promises are sure. Now, it's in a way, it's easy for us to see how, looking back in history, how God was going to do this, because we're living after the amazing things that Christ did when he came on this to this earth. But those who were hearing this message at the very beginning when it was spoken, they knew that their temple was in danger. They knew that their livelihoods were in danger. They knew that their country was going to be overrun by foreign invaders that would capture them, just like the prophets had predicted for them. All they had was this word from God, this promise that they would be strengthened, helped, upheld by the righteous right hand of God. Now, we too today, where we live in history, we haven't seen all of God's promises come true yet. Now, we have seen some of the central parts of God's promises true in Christ. You know, the Lord spoke these things through the prophet to Israel. Israel suffered in exile in Babylon, but then after that, God fulfilled his promise partially and brought his people back from exile into the promised land before Christ. But even when they were brought back from exile, there was still the experience of suffering under a foreign power, whether it was Persia, whether it was Greece, or whether it was Rome. And into that crisis, the Lord fulfilled his promise even more by bringing Jesus. And when Jesus died on the cross, it was like Israel going into exile all over again. The ultimate separation, the ultimate pain and suffering for the sins, the things that we've said no to God in, Jesus on the cross. But when he rose from the dead, 3 days later, he began that coming home of God's people, that fulfillment of this promise, that righteous right hand is a symbol of God coming in Jesus, walking on this earth, dying our death, rising to new life, and showing us what he is going to do in the end. So we, as God's people, as the church, we live in a period between that resurrection of Jesus and between the final beautiful ending of this story that God has written. Isaiah gives us a little bit of a sneak peek into that in this very chapter 41, verse 17 through 20. The poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst. This reminds us of the suffering of this present life. But I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, I will not forsake them. I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. I will put in the desert the cedar and the acacia, the myrtle and the olive. I will send junipers in the wasteland. He's talking about a paradise, a new creation, so that the people may see and know, may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this, that the Holy One of Israel has created it. We still live on this end of the story. All the things that we've just read about have not yet happened in their fullness. We still have things like the coronavirus, millions of people dying. We still have things like wars and rumors of wars and famine. We still have things like chronic illness and struggles with mental health. We still have things like chronic anxiety and depression. We live in a not yet of this promise. Yet, we also live with this promise that God will uphold us, he will help us, he will save us. And that has happened in Christ, and it will happen finally, fully, when Jesus returns. So whatever the things are in your life that are making you feel like you're losing control, whatever the things are in your life that are causing you fear, anxiety, and worry, hear the word of the Lord again. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The Lord is your God. The Lord is with you, and his promises are sure. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, you have brought us through the valley. You have brought us through trials innumerable. As we see this past year, as we experience it in our own hearts, yet you have been with us every step of the way. And your spirit is in us to comfort us if we trust in Jesus. I pray that these words spoken over 2,000 years ago, that these words would be life for us today. I pray for anyone here, I pray it for my own heart, who is struggling with fear of what may happen in the future. May we hear your words to us, comforting us like a fellow soldier, comforting us like a friend next to us, comforting us like a father or a mother holding an infant. Let that strengthen us and bring us all that we need for this day's needs and tomorrow's as well. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.